Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Protect your family's future with life cover from Zurich. Talk to a financial broker to find out more.
Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
A former Georgian police official residing in Ireland now is urging people not to rush to judgment as to why a growing number of Georgian nationals are seeking international protection here in this country. Georgia represented the largest source of asylum applications last year, despite being designated by the Irish government as a so-called safe country. Our reporter Barry Lenhan is here. What can you tell us about this, Barry?
Yeah, so 20% of all those seeking asylum here in 2022 came from Georgia, 2,710 in all. And that's almost seven times the number of Georgian nationals who sought asylum applications here in 2021. And already this year, 265 international protection applicants from Georgia, 10% of all applicants in the first 3 months of the year. And authorities here consider Georgia a safe country of origin and recently introduced a fast-track asylum process for those arriving from eight so-called safe countries. Now, some politicians, they've queried the numbers arriving from Georgia, arguing they're here for economic reasons rather than seeking refuge. And rhetoric at recent protests over the housing of asylum seekers, which we've covered in the programme, also honed in on Georgian nationals, questioning why they're coming here when there's reportedly no clear conflict in Georgia. So with all this in mind, in recent days I met one Georgian family in Dublin to hear more of why exactly so many are arriving from the former Soviet Republic.
And what did you hear?
Yorgi, not his real name, in order to protect his identity, was a high-profile police official in Georgia. He's now around 60, and everything he told me was backed up by documents and other evidence. Yorgi is from Tin Valley in the Ossetia region of Georgia, and his home was initially burned to the ground there in the 1990s. He subsequently returned to the region with his wife and three sons, but Russia invaded Ossetia in 2008 and, in Georgia's view, effectively annexed the region. Here's what happened to Yorgi, and we communicated through an interpreter.
Georgi, while he was living in a conflict zone, started to become a head of police force there, where he was looking after the peacekeeping mission. He was quite involved with peace negotiation process, trying to resolve the situation. He was a head of the criminal prosecution unit, a very senior job. He said up until the point that the Russian forces entered into Ossetia in 2008, they lived in this home, and the Russian forces, once they entered, burnt all the villages that were majority Georgian people, which is where they lived. But the remaining Georgian populations were then, you know, their homes were burned down, taken over by the Ossetians.
Yorgi's high-profile police job brought him and his family into even more danger.
Yorgi was quite active in going after criminals on both sides, Ossetian and Georgian criminals that were causing the problem. He jailed a lot of criminal people. So in a way, he was quite outspoken. Ossetian people started to offer him a lot of money to kind of spy for them and to support in finding some senior Georgian people, basically, in this kind of way. So they started to threaten him at the time because he became a bit of a public figure.
Very dangerous situation to be in.
As a result, his life, they were going after him and his kids.
На меня оказывали, значит, давление.
The city of Tin Valley, which was the capital city of Ossetia, was occupied fully at that stage by Russian-backed forces, former KGB forces. They started the file on Georgi and his family at that stage when he refused to cooperate. A file about his life and his kids. Basically, he became one of the targets.
Я находился все время при оружии, они тоже и хотели.
So he had to always carry a gun because, you know, to make sure that he's safe, I guess, yeah. He was shot at quite often. A few times he was almost killed, you know, by the people who were basically following him and trying to murder him or his family, yeah.
After 2008, Yorgi continued to fight against the separatist Russian-backed regime in Ossetia. but as a high-profile figure in the Georgian police and intelligence service, Russian forces went after him in an aggressive way.
Basically, he was targeted by somebody with a knife who tried to attack him on near to his home. His wife protected him and they basically cut her hand. And actually, currently, she has like a lot of disability because of this, you know, accident. Because the knife went after him, she put her hand up and they cut her hand, yeah.
Значит, мы думали, что делать, у нас семья, дети, и пока ничего не говорили. Пока...
So it became very dangerous and they had to send two children up to the mountains to stay with the parents, his parents, and Georgi had to go into an unknown location to be undercover. The people found his secret location and started to threaten him by writing things on his door, writing to his phone, basically threatening him, again shooting at him.
So he felt he was very much under threat. What prompted Georgi to ultimately come to Ireland, Barry?
A number of his colleagues were killed. Here's what else.
Мой друг думали пока в Европу какую-нибудь страну, но
The last straw was that one time he was driving to work in occupied territory and his car got many shots and he lost control of the car and the car completely totaled, so he hardly survived. It was a very big miracle. So that was the last thing that happened and they started looking in European options, and a friend of his recommended Ireland.
Georgi and his wife arrived in Ireland in 2016 and received citizenship last summer. However, his three sons and their families remain in Georgia under threat.
But unfortunately, he doesn't know how to bring his sons here. It's very difficult to get visas for them, so they are still separated this way, and unfortunately all of his three sons are not able to have jobs because of him. They used to all work in police forces and they were all discriminated, prosecuted and basically completely unemployable, or like on a blacklist. It's a challenge for them to be surviving there now. They are under threat, they have kids, they can't work there, they have to basically be in hiding, constantly changing locations.
Tens of thousands took to the streets of Georgia's capital Tbilisi for several days earlier this month in protest against a Russian-style law which would class non-government and media groups as foreign agents. The law was eventually dropped, but Georgi fears for his sons, with protesters still in the minority.
There are a lot of people protesting on the streets in this capital. They're getting stronger, the Russian-backed regime. People who are protesting are still in the minority. They are, you know, not safe. The world can see now that in Georgia the demonstrations are quite big. Since 10 years now, the new government hasn't delivered economic progress. There's a lot of corruption and crime really skyrocketed. The current regime is supported by Russian oligarchy. People of Georgia are not benefiting in any way, getting more poor. A lot of people are looking for other economic opportunities, and young people like Georgi's sons were also there in a protest in the streets. But yes, it isn't safe. A lot of people hurt. They can lose jobs. It's not safe to protest like that. As you can see in the news, and by the fact that so many people are leaving, it's not a good situation there for average person.
We heard there about recent large-scale protests in Georgia over a Russian-style law. What else is happening politically in Georgia?
So Georgia has sought EU membership, but there are fears its ruling party is moving the country towards Russia's sphere of influence. A sensitivity, too, that what happened in Ukraine could also happen in Georgia. So I asked Georgi how he responded to Irish concerns over the numbers arriving here from Georgia.
Irlandia. Они знают, что самое безопасное, самое
People are desperate. A lot of people like Ireland, they think of it as one of the safest countries in the European Union, with the friendliest people, so they choose come here. Quite a lot of attention is placed on Ukrainian war. The truth is that over 1,000 people are from Georgia fighting for Ukraine, and it's spills over inside of country like Georgia, which also suffers by occupants and fighting inside and Russian-backed corrupt government. Therefore, it would be more fair if people considered supporting those who are hurt by this kind of war conflict or economic damages, independent of them coming from Ukraine or not. Georgi is reading that a lot of Georgian people have been deported from Ireland. There is a lot lot of them have quite legitimate reasons to be staying here, and it's not safe for them to be going back, and they are vulnerable populations that should be helped.
It really is an unsafe and dangerous situation in Georgia.
Я знаю, в історії Ірландії теж було таке.
And also Georgi is saying that in the past in Ireland there was a period where people had to leave their country as well for different reasons, and economic situation was quite bad. This is what is happening in his country right now.
Tell me more about life in Ireland since you arrived in 2016.
Georgi is saying he's very grateful because thanks to Ireland his wife and himself managed to have longer lives, not pleasures of life. They are able to not be afraid. So for that, they are really grateful to the people of Ireland. He's a veteran of three wars, and he fought in Afghanistan too with American forces. He has a lot of health issues as a result. So he's working as much as possible. Also, unfortunately, the English barrier is there. That's why he hasn't been able to get a job that is same, you know, in terms of status and salary. And
do you think you'll ever be able to return to Georgia?
Once the government changes, he would like to go back because he wants to share his military experience with the new generation and help return the occupied territories.
How strong is the hope that you will be reunited with your sons, with your family?
He
doesn't know what's the probability. Like, he would love to have his sons here, but he doesn't know who can assist his economic situation.
So an uncertain future. So what is the Department of Justice saying about the situation facing those arriving from Georgia into Ireland, Barry? Because the concerns have been raised by some groups who work with asylum seekers.
Yeah, the visa situation can be complex, as we heard there in Georgi's case. But some groups say that those who are fast-tracked, such as arriving from Georgia, may not sometimes have enough time to get requisite legal representation or medical reports. The department says it has committed additional funding of nearly 18 million euro this year for the International Protection Office, which will go towards increasing efficiency in processing asylum applications, and all such applications are considered on their merits.
Very good indeed. Thanks to Georgi for sharing his story, and Barry Lenihan, thank you very much indeed.